Hello and welcome back. We're going to continue discussing the major accounting principles. Some accountants argue that waiting so long to recognize any revenue is unreasonable. They believe that because revenue-producing activities have been performed during each year of construction, revenue should be recognized in each year of that construction, even if estimates are needed. The percentage of completion method recognizes revenue based on the estimated stage of completion of a long-term project. To measure the stage of completion, firms compare actual cost incurred in a period with the total estimated cost to be incurred on the project. To illustrate, assume that a company has was contracted to build a dam for $44 million. The estimated construction cost to build the dam is $40 million. And you can calculate the estimated gross margin by simply subtracting the cost from the sales price, which will give you the $4 million. The firm recognizes the $4 million gross margin in the financial statements by recording the assigned revenue for the year and then deducting actual costs incurred for that year. The formula to recognize revenue is simply the actual construction cost incurred during the period divided by the total estimated construction cost for the entire project, and you're going to multiply that times the sales price, and that will give you the revenue recognized for that particular period. Suppose that by the end of the first year, the company had incurred actual construction cost of $3 million. These costs are 75% of the total estimated construction cost. Under the percentage of completion method, the firm would use the 75% figure to assign revenue to the first year. In 2011, if it incurs another $6 million of construction cost, in 2012, it incurs the final $4 million of construction cost. The amount of revenue to assign to each year is as follows. So you're going to use your ratio of actual construction cost to the total estimated construction cost, and that will give you a percentage, and you're going to multiply that by the agreed upon price of the dam, and that's going to give you the amount of revenue to recognize in that particular year. The amount of gross margin to recognize in each year is as follows. So in 2010, they recognized $3 million. In 2011, they recognized $0.6 million. In 2012, they recognized $0.4 million for a total of $4 million. This company would deduct other costs incurred in the accounting period, such as general and administrative expenses, from the gross margin to determine the net income. For instance, assuming general and administrative expenses were $100,000 in 2010, net income would be $2,900,000. Expense recognition is closely related to and sometimes discussed as part of the revenue recognition principle. The matching principle states that expenses should be recognized as they are incurred to produce revenues. An expense is the outflow or using up of assets in the generation of revenue. Firms voluntarily incur expenses to produce revenue. For instance, a television set delivered by a dealer to a customer in exchange for cash is an asset consumption to produce revenue. Its cost becomes an expense. Similarly, the cost of services such as labor are voluntarily incurred to produce revenue. The measurement of expenses. Accountants measure most assets used in operating a business by their historical cost. Therefore, they measure a depreciation expense resulting from the consumption of those assets by the historical cost of those assets. They measure other expenses, such as wages, that are paid for currently at their current costs. The timing of expense recognition. implies that a relationship exists between expenses and revenues. For certain expenses, such as cost of acquiring or producing the product sold, you can easily see the relationship. However, when a direct relationship cannot be seen, we charge the cost of assets with limited lives to expense in the periods benefited as systematic and rational allocations basis. Depreciation of plant assets is an example. Product costs are costs incurred in the acquisition or manufacture of goods, as you will see in the next chapter, included as product cost for purchased goods are invoice, freight, and insurance in transit costs. For manufacturing companies, product costs include all costs of materials, labor, and factory operations necessary to produce the goods. Product costs attach to the goods purchased or purchased and remain in inventory accounts as long as the goods are on hand. We charge product cost to expense when the goods are sold. The result is a precise matching of cost of goods sold expense to its relative revenue. Period costs are costs not traceable to specific products and expense in the period incurred. Selling and administrative costs are period costs. The gain and loss recognition principle states that we record gains only when realized, but losses when they first become evident. Thus, we recognize losses at an earlier point than gains. This principle is related to the conservatism concept. Gains typically result from the sale of a long-term asset for more than their book value. Firms should not recognize gains until they are realized through the sale or exchange. Recognizing the potential gains before they are actually realized is not allowed. Losses consume assets, as do expenses. However, unlike expenses, they do not produce revenue. Losses are usually involuntary, such as the loss suffered from destruction by fire on an uninsured building. A loss on the sale of a building may be voluntary when a management decides to sell the building, even though it's incurring a loss. The full disclosure principle states that information important enough to influence the decisions of an informed user of the financial statement should be disclosed. Depending on its nature, companies should disclose this information either in the financial statements, in notes to the financial statements, or in supplemental statements. In judging whether or not to disclose information, it is better to err on the side of too much disclosure rather than too little. Many lawsuits against CPAs and their clients have resulted from inadequate or misleading disclosure of the underlying facts.